Local musicians Joshua Jessen and J.T. Thigpen have played a lot of jazz, but never like what they did in the upcoming Miles Ahead movie about jazz icon Miles Davis. Jessen and Thigpen play jazz scenes with Miles Davis, as portrayed by Oscar-nominated actor Don Cheadle, who also directed the film here 2 years ago. The film has its Cincinnati premiere March 26. Jessen, a pianist and CCM grad, appears as Bill Evans, a legendary jazz pianist who played with Miles Davis in the 50s and 60s. Thigpen, an upright bass player, plays Paul Chambers, known for his improvisations with Davis in the 50s and the 60s on Davis's Porgy and Bess and Kind of Blue albums. Miles Ahead, set in 1979, flashes back to Miles Davis's love affair with his first wife, Frances Taylor, in the 50s and 60s. Joshua, JT, thanks for joining me here tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Joshua, were you a Miles Davis fan?
I have been a Miles Davis fan since about age 9 or 10 when I went to Jamie Ebersole's jazz camps as a kid and first heard of his music and heard some of his records.
JT, were you a Miles fan too?
Always have been a Miles fan. Matter of fact, one of my oldest son's name is Miles, after Miles Davis. So that speaks
That's dedication,
volumes.
Yeah.
That's dedication, brother.
So you're playing Bill Evans, the pianist, right?
Yes, sir.
Were you a Bill Evans fan too?
He was actually on the piano, one of my main heroes growing up. Because around age 10 or 11 as well, I got some records of his and kind of grew into liking his music and his sound. That's why it was sort of a shock to get cast as him, mostly because I've like been a huge fan for a long time. And I was very surprised to and honored to play that role.
JT, you're shaking his head. You were aware of Paul Chambers?
Oh, yeah. Chambers set the bar on the Kind of Blue album for me.
Kind of Blue was a Miles Davis album in what, late 50s?
59, I believe that's correct. Yeah. When I got that call, I thought it was going to be for an extra part. When I put my hat in for it, I was like, this is already in the 11th hour. There's no way.
Yeah.
When I got that call, it was like, well, hey, you know, they want you to play Paul Chambers.
Yeah.
No, wait, stop. No way.
So how did they find you? You find them.
My brother-in-law saw this ad for it. I had kind of been hearing about it, whispers, rumors about it, but never looked into it. My brother-in-law saw it, this ad, forwarded it to my wife. So she forwards it to me, and I'm looking at it like, well, this is in the 11th hour. There's no way I'll make this. So I throw my hat in, and I get a call back maybe in about a week, and they say, hey, you know, all the parts are taken. They actually want you to come in as an extra. I said, well, yeah, I'll do it. Just to be able to say I did it. So some time rolls by. We're in Michigan on vacation, and I get the call. We've seen your headshots. We think you're great. Don wants you to come play Paul Chambers. I got this thing on speakerphone. My wife and my daughter are, oh, my God. I'm like, shh. And that's when I go, Doc, you're talking about Paul Chambers. He's like the guy. I said, well, you know, Don saw the reel, and he wants you to come do it. So I'm like, well, okay, I can do that. And that was the beginning of a lot of me going, okay, I can do that. Problem was, I didn't have a bass. I didn't have an upright bass. I was already in negotiations with this cat up in Columbus to pick up a bass. So I'm in Michigan, and I'm thinking, okay, I got a week.
Rehearsals are in a week. JT, we're going to need you to learn these charts. We're going to need you to do this, do that.
Okay, yeah, sure, I can do that. I mean, I didn't even have a dime to my name. When I told the guy I was negotiating with, dude, I got to have a bass because this thing happened with Paul. Dude, come up here and get this bass. Don't worry about the payment. You got to do this, JT. So I drive up, get the bass, come home, and start shedding like crazy all week. The charts, the MP3s,
right.
Just trying to get ready to be in a room with guys like this guy.
You're playing Bill Evans. How do they find you? You find them.
I don't know if somehow I was recommended to them or what, because I was just playing a gig here in Cincinnati, like in, you know, some afternoon thing, some solo piano thing. And I got a call and a voicemail that I didn't, you know, from a number I didn't recognize. And I checked the voicemail and it's like, hey, this is the casting director for, you know, Don Cheadle film Miles Ahead that, you know, we're filming here in Cincinnati. And something like, we saw your headshot. We'd like you to come in on audition. First of all, I was like, what? Because I don't think I even had any like professional headshots at the time online. You know, I mean, I had photos of me and I had my website up and stuff like that. But none of it was like portrayed as like kind of targeting as an acting roles. It was mostly just performance roles. And I understand that they want, you know, real musicians to play actors now because, you know, who looks more comfortable behind an instrument than a musician, right? So I get this call and out of nowhere, just falling out of the sky, like, can you come in and audition for this? I was like, what an honor, you know, thinking, what an honor to audition for a film, especially with a guy like Don Cheadle. I was looking forward to that experience. And I was thinking that it wouldn't go further than that. And so I was like, oh, sure, I'll go on audition. So I went and played and talked a little bit about my life and my experiences and So my influences, Bill Evans being a big one. And then I left thinking, like, totally satisfied from the audition, thinking, that's where it ends. That's a great experience. And then 3 weeks later, I get a call, like, hey, you've been cast as Bill Evans. You know, I'm dancing on the phone, like, I'm you know, staying totally professional, like, oh, thank you very much. I look forward to it. But I'm, like, moving around, jumping around like crazy in the other end of the line.
So the movie's set in kind of 79, but there's these flashbacks to the 50s and early 60s. And the pieces you're playing are from the 50s?
Through the 50s and 60s, they're both. I think most of our scenes, which we have a couple in common, were from those flashback eras. You know, sometimes he flashes back to this wedding night that we played on this scene, you know, where we're playing with a trio in his house.
When he and Frances got married.
In their New York apartment or something like that.
And then there's, you know, another scene where we're at the Village Vanguard together, which is here in town, of course, just in another room redone. That was the whole kind of Blue Band. And then he was doing a Porgy and Bess thing, and I did another thing where Miles got beat up by the cops. But we had two of those scenes together, at least, depending on how they break up the footage. You know?
So it could be that you've shot this scene, but they'd flash back to it. It would be interspersed throughout the entire movie as he keeps on going back to, that point, to that relationship or whatever.
Because maybe there's the relationship moment, and then there's multiple times when he's remembering the relationship.
So, JT, what songs did you play on?
We did Blue and Green. I did Gone. Gone was an amazing situation. We were in this studio, Phrase, up in Dayton. Amazing old room. I mean, I didn't know it existed until we got there. Room is filled with unbelievable players. You may have seen it in some of the trailers, where it's the studio shot where we're doing this tune from Porgy and Bess. The thought was that we were just going to kind of comp the whole thing. But Don at last minute goes, no, I want these cats to actually play it. So that entire group of amazing musicians, we all met at some studio downtown that I didn't know existed also.
That place we rehearsed.
Yeah, that place.
Down on, like, I don't even remember.
Main. Six and Walnut or something like that.
Or Walnut, yeah.
We're down in that place, and we go through the chart. And as you cats probably know, in that original recording, there was a lot of flubs. Well, we were going back and forth, fixing, working, da-da-da-da. We get that thing worked out, end up here on the set to do this, and we play it. You know, Miles is supposed to walk in and tell us to stop. Well, he does. He walks in, he tells us to stop. He said, man, y'all playing it too damn good. It's supposed to be some mistakes. So it was fun. It was amazing, man. That's when I got mic'd up.
Did you each have a speaking role?
But the cool part is like, you know, I grew up watching these videos of Bill Evans, how he sits at the piano and how he listened to him talk in interviews and things, not for any reason other than I was interested in his music. And so when it came time to it, I was like, well, you know what? I kind of know how he sits at the piano.
I got to say, this guy killed it, Josh. Killed it. I mean, just his whole thing, he had it cold.
No way, man. Thank you.
He had it.
But I wanted to comment, if I may, on what he was saying about, you know, he was playing live. I thought it was interesting that I'd say both of us experienced this, but there was like at least four sort of modes of playing in this film. So where there's one where you're pretending to play entirely. Maybe we're not even actually playing.
Mm-hmm.
There's another where we're playing a transcription, like we're playing along with the recording exactly.
Mm-hmm.
There's one where we're playing something and then music is written to what we're playing. And then the last one is that we're actually playing, which is, I think, the coolest because, you know, as performers, that's what means a lot to us.
Yeah.
Even more than lines. It's like, am I playing on it? That's even more. That's our lines. You know what I mean? Even though we have some actual words.
So, JT, you show up one day and they said, hey, did you see the script? And you said, yeah, I've seen a script. And they kept on asking all day, have you seen a script?
Yeah.
And the reason why is because you've got, what, a page or two or three of dialogue?
This is like technically the last day of shooting. And this is out here again at this Frey studio. I get there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And by this time, I'm kind of a vet because all the other cats have been in one or two scenes. This is like my fourth or fifth scene. By this time, I know the assistant directors, you know, casting directors by this time. And this one particular guy, he goes, hey, JT, make sure you read the script. Well, every day we got, you know, the pages of that day. So, you know, it was nothing really that I needed to read. But this particular day, he said, man, make sure you read the script. Yeah, I get to it. Hour two goes by.
Like checking out the tune right before the gig, you know.
Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. I'm chilling. He goes, 2 hours go by. Hey, JT, did you read the script? No, man, you know, we'll get to it. He said, you need to read the script. A couple more hours go by. JT, you need to read the script. I said, okay, man. I look at it and I'm like, expletive, expletive. He said, I've been trying to tell you, man, you got lines with Miles in like 15 minutes. So I'm like learning the lines. So, sure enough, they mic me up.
So in your scenes playing music, does Cheeto play music as Miles?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And man, that guy, talk about dedication. He studied the trumpet for years before this. just to do this. And he plays quite well, I have to say,
yeah,
on the trumpet, you know. And he's really obviously studied Miles's sound, which is impressive too. Mm-hmm. Not just like studied the trumpet, but he's making a lot of those sounds too.
Because he had told me he grew up playing sax.
Right,
which is a whole different universe.
But he's got that music in him still. That like those instincts are still there, you know, hopefully.
He said his parents had a Miles Davis album, but he listened to the Charlie Parker album instead.
Yeah.
So was it surreal sitting there and looking at this guy who really looks like Miles Davis playing an okay trumpet?
Yeah, I was the whole time like, I'm not going to be that guy. I'm standing next to Colonel Rhodes. I'm not going to be that guy.
Like a fanboy.
Hotel Rwanda. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think what was crazy for me and what's just really convincing, or it's like the set, because these are professionals, right? And these are guys with a vision. And and since we're playing these scenes from the 50s, you know, we're done up in the 50s. You know, he's dressed up like he's in the 50s. I am too. I look in a mirror and you look around the room and even outside, the cars are old. The storefronts are redone. The inside of the club and everybody's dressed. So really, it starts, you get into this world and you spend 12 hours there, whatever it is at a time, you get lost in it and it feels like you're really in these moments. Like we had this scene where, you know, Miles gets beat up outside the Village Vanguard, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets taken away in this car. And Emi Yahtzee runs out, and I run out after him. We're yelling at this cop, and there's a whole angry crowd of like people like, "That's Miles! You know he's a star. What are you doing?"
Mm-hmm.
And you feel in between each take, they had to yell "cut" like 10 times to get everybody to calm down. They get so lost in the emotion of the actual scene because it feels so convincing. It's easy to be in these situations and act in them because it feels like you're really in them.
Are you each in the trailer? Have you seen yourself in the trailer?
I've seen us in the trailer, especially probably the first one.
But yeah, we're all in the trailer, and I think about three places on the trailer that just came out.
What do we learn about Miles Davis, or is this a cool thing that Miles Davis will be introduced to a whole new generation?
I think yes.
I hope more than anything, people check out his music now. Whatever people say about the film, which I hope they all love it, but hopefully people more than anything will just, it'll revitalize his music and some of his legacy.
Well, this has been fun. I can't wait to watch and hear the movie. You'll be able to see J.T. Thigpen and Joshua Jessen, along with stars Don Cheadle, Ewan McGregor, when Miles Ahead opens in the Cincinnati area. It's going to have a limited national release on April 1. I'd like to thank my guests, local jazz musicians, J.T. Thigpen and Joshua Jessen. You'll find a link at our website, wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm John Keyswick.